welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but the twist is that we do it from a law enforcement perspective. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And let me introduce the crew, guys. If you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Randy might make it back just in time for the wave. But we have Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way retired FBI number one, and number two FBI whistleblower, and he's a current sheriff of the Walla Walla County, and that is in Washington State. So yeah, it's a long ways away. So thanks for being on the show, Sheriff. Appreciate it. Also, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, no stranger to the people on the show, retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. We're going to have some great information coming about the Wounded Blue as well. So thanks for being on the show, Randy. Appreciate it. Not even going to ask what you've got in the coffee cup. You know, sometimes he'll have the cups where you can kind of see through and see the color of the liquid, and sometimes he just doesn't. So I'm sure there's a method to the madness, but yeah. But Randy he's going to add some great, contribute some great stuff to the show. Also, a shout out to our sponsors, Arrow Precision, and they're our satellite sponsor, getting us on Westwood One Satellite. We have Gauls, AUFire.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and MyMedicare.live. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the free press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for carrying our content. And Ray Dietrich with RedVoiceMedia.com. We're actually, in addition to the 34 radio stations that we're on, we're streaming the 8 locations live right now. And out of those 8 locations, 3 belong to Red Voice Media. And those 3 Facebook pages alone have about 1 million followers. So it's unbelievable. So thanks to Red Voice Media for helping make that happen. Guys, just to kind of whet the appetite on some of the topics we're going to be talking about today. We've got one. The first one is going to be a main topic. So they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Pro Second Amendment injunction. It lasts all of 88 minutes. So yeah, a little over an hour. And where is it at? In Washington State, in Sheriff Kreider's neck of the woods. So he's going to add some insight on that. Then we've got a North Carolina guy that's claiming to identify as a woman, and he's arrested for indecent exposure at a Planet Fitness gym. And yes, the fact that he identifies as a woman plays a key role in why he was arrested and what he did. Just wait till you guys hear that story. Then we're in Boise. A Boise police officer, they shoot a guy named Eli Nash, and it's a justified shoot. There's a body cam associated with it, but it's a pretty interesting shooting. And then we're still in Boise. We got an officer justified in the shooting of Harry Andrews, who was on the interstate armed with a knife. Then we're going to jump to LAPD because, of course, we can't leave California out. They've got an inspector chosen to serve as the independent monitor for the Oregon PD reform. So, yeah, we've got a California inspector that's going to be the monitor for a PD, a police department in Oregon. And, of course, this story is all too common. I can't wait to get into that. And then we're back in Boise again. We got 6 Boise police officers who fatally shot a 28-year-old Macy Juker, who are justified body cam in reference to that as well. So, yeah, we've got a lot of interesting stuff. Our streamers that are on, thank you guys so much for being here. I just want to acknowledge the lead streamer, the guy that's been waiting since 6:44 p.m. yesterday for us to go live, and it's Sergeant George Ishak. We've got a bunch of guys that are in line after that, but George has been waiting for the show to go live since yesterday. So thanks for being there, guys. Appreciate it. So look, let's go ahead and get started. Our main topic, lawofficer.com, pro Second Amendment injunction lasts all of 88 minutes in Washington State. There's a reason why, I'll tell you. According to David Gutman at the Seattle Times, about the court case, the state of Washington versus Gators Custom Guns Incorporated. It was brought by an organization called the Silent Majority Foundation, and it's a Cowlitz County judge ruled that Washington's ban on high-capacity magazines, which is going on all over the place, including the state of California, this judge ruled that it's unconstitutional, and he did this on Monday. But just minutes after this, the state Supreme Court issued this emergency order, I guess they keep in law in the book. So let me clarify this. It's a county judge that ruled that the law that is on high-capacity magazines is unconstitutional. And then minutes later, and this was all set up, they were worried about this happening, and the state Supreme Court issued an emergency order that keeps the law in the books while they're doing the appeal thing now. So Cowlitz County Superior Court judge, and this is the guy that made it happen, Judge Gary Basher, he ruled that the Washington ban on magazines, which holding more than 10 rounds and have been banned since 2022, it violated both the Washington state and the U.S. constitutions. And that's actually the same restriction they have in the state of California. It's not surprising that Washington state's any constitution, any self-defense state officials were miffed at the county judges striking down the unconstitutional so-called large capacity magazine law. And unsurprisingly, the state AG, of course, the attorney general, filed an immediate emergency appeal. And what was surprising is that the speed at which the state officials thwarted the release of the people's rights to self-defense by keeping this thing on the books. So that's what we have. Guys, curious as to your opinions on this, especially you, Sheriff Kreider, since you're right in the thick of it over there in Washington State. But Randy, you want to start us off?
Yeah, you know, the liberal leftists in the state of Washington, they just seem to be, they want to experiment with everything. And almost inevitably, it deals with destroying the rights of the people in the city when it comes, or in the state when it comes down to firearms. Now, they'll legalize every drug that there is until the body count rises to the point where they go, oh, my God, what do we do? But they will continue to erode the rights of the citizens when it comes down to the Second Amendment. And the fact that 88 minutes after one court makes the proper decision when it comes down to the Second Amendment, they are waiting because they knew it was going to happen. And they issue that as fast as they possibly could. This is going to have to go to the Supreme Court again. Hopefully the Supreme Court will do what they should be doing, and that is uphold the rights of the citizens of the state of Washington.
Thanks, Rick. You know, Sheriff Kreider, I travel to California a lot, and same thing there. I have to take magazines that hold 10 or less. Even if I take a 20-round magazine, I only put 10 bullets in it, I'm still in violation of that high-capacity magazine restriction that they have there. So it sounds like it's that part's very similar to what they're doing in Washington State. What kind of inside scoop do you have on all this stuff going down?
Well, I would tell you to man up there, Chip. You're carrying under Leosa, so I would thumb my nose at that rule. I'll carry whatever I want to carry.
I'm Leosa, and they haven't passed a Leosa clause yet that covers that in those states, at least anyhow that I'm aware of.
I think that was challenged in New Jersey, and New Jersey lost. So you can't restrict somebody from coming out of state that's carrying under Leosa. But it's a contest between Oregon, Washington, and California to see who can come up with the dumbest and most inane laws possible. Part of the problem in the state of Washington with the way that they wrote the law is they grandfathered all previous magazines. So you can carry, let's say that you have an AR, because you can't buy an AR now. You can't even buy, if I want to change the trigger on my AR, I can't buy an AR trigger group in the state of Washington, and I can't import one from another state. So, but if I have a 30-round magazine for my AR that I had pre-ban, I can carry it around and use it. So it's an unenforceable law. Number two, I don't call them high-capacity magazines. I call them normal-capacity magazines. You know, a high-capacity magazine for a Glock is one of the 50-round drums that you see that stick out the bottom and are kind of unwieldy. That's high capacity. It's just ridiculous. The state of Washington passed either 4 or 5 new gun laws in this last legislative session that are just inane. And in my opinion, they're designed to put gun dealers out of business and, make felons out of every gun owner in the state of Washington. I'll also get on my soapbox. I believe that the state of Washington, also the DOL, collects and keeps a registry of all the guns that you buy. And I believe that's a direct violation of the Brady Act, the 1994 Brady Act. So our government in the state of Washington is keeping track of all the guns that I buy and own.
Wow, well, that's great insight. So it sounds like you're really on top of things over there, Sheriff. So interesting. And I'll tell you what, next time I go to California, I'm going to take a card with your name on it, and I'm just going to flash that thing around. So
I'll contribute $5 to your legal defense fund if you get arrested. How's that?
Hey, I appreciate that. I'll be packing the 17-round Glock magazines then, and taking my Glock 26 with me then. So yeah, it's nice, concealable, and good. You're good to go. So I love it. All right.
Absolutely.
I have a question for the sheriff. Are in the law enforcement community there on the sheriff's side of things, Are you an outlier, or are you part of the organization that is cohesive and will and is vocal against the anti-law enforcement lobby there?
So there's kind of two things. That's kind of a double-edged sword. In the state of Washington, there's a group that's called what we refer to as WASPIC, which is the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. And it's a joint organization, phenomenal organization. We do a lot of good professional stuff. We do some lobbying on legislation and that stuff. And then there's also...
I'll tell you what, Sheriff, hold that thought. We got our first commercial break, so look, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com/Leo. Gauls is the country's leading uniform clothing, equipment, and gear provider for law enforcement. They have a variety of, a variety of tools and offerings. They have multi-tools and flashlights, duty boots, and tactical gear. They pretty much have everything for law enforcement except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out the new Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com/Leo and check them out. And notice that I said uniform programs. Even my former agency, the Tampa Police Department, they've got a Gauls office on the second floor lobby of Tampa Police Headquarters, and they're absolutely killing it. So Gauls.com/Leo. And look, it's not just for law enforcement anymore. Even if you have, imagine you guys may have a few friends or the hose draggers, the firefighters, or maybe even military, they have stuff for everybody, and they have gift cards as well. So Gauls.com/Leo, please go there, take care of your friends. They'll be your new best friends, actually. Gauls.com/Leo, go there and check them out. All right, so now we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. Yes, we're talking about long guns. So born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know they know what they're talking about. Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. Since 1994, they've quietly been leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Action. So stay tuned, because the M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards are getting ready to hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com later this year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored to the civilian customer, which is you guys, and now you can get your hands on this primo stuff. In addition, their M5 AR-308 platform is a great sniper platform. That's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Go to AeroPrecisionUSA.com today. All right, guys, and welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, we've been talking about the new laws in Washington State, or I guess one ruled unconstitutional, and then, of course, minutes later, you know, there's an appeal process, and it's back on the books again. So they're trying. But final words, guys, anything on Washington State and what's going on with the gun laws, or are you guys ready to move on to something else?
I want to hear the rest of the sheriffs.
What were we talking about? I forgot.
Well, that's right. The sheriff was in the middle of talking about 2 points.
You were talking about the two associations, Sheriffs and Chiefs Association, and how they deal with
the... So the sheriffs also have their own association, which is called the Washington State Sheriffs Association. The sheriffs are much more vocal, and WASPIC doesn't really tackle gun issues, and police chiefs are a little hesitant to make their opinion heard, because they're an at-will employee versus... So usually at WASPIC, if we're talking a gun issue, the chief is next to you, elbowing you, saying, you should say this, you should say that. And it's all the sheriffs that are putting their opinions out there. So, the sheriffs are very vocal about it. And I would say the majority of the sheriffs, especially the 19 counties east of the Cascades, are very vocal and very strong Second Amendment advocates.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's true. Sheriffs are elected, and police chiefs are appointed by mayors and city managers, all that stuff. So, all right, good deal. Well, guys, moving along, we're going to cover this North Carolina story. LawOfficer.com, North Carolina man claiming to identify as a woman arrested for indecent exposure at a Planet Fitness gym. How does this stuff happen, guys? I mean, I'm in Tampa. You would think that, you know, we get a lot of weird stuff over here, but oh my gosh. So Gastonia, North Carolina, a person who is a biological male, and I'm assuming they know that from proof that they saw in the locker room, and a member of a Planet Fitness gym in North Carolina, they were arrested after he reportedly entered the women's locker room and he stripped down completely naked, saying that he identified as a woman. All right, yeah. Well, don't worry, it gets better. So while trans-identifying individuals are getting away with the same actions, not saying this guy's trans, he's just saying how he identifies, right? So it does say that trans-identifying people are getting away with the same, doing the same thing. But this guy's name, who they say is Christopher Miller, he's 38 years old. He was not so fortunate. He was appropriately arrested and charged with indecent exposure after parading around the ladies' locker room wearing nothing but a smile. The incident was reported by an alarmed woman. She calls 911. It happened on Thursday from Planet Fitness in the city of Gastonia, and according to the WSOC-TV. And she says, it's a man, but he says he identifies as a woman, and he won't leave the restroom. And this is what the 911 caller told the emergency dispatcher. And then she goes on to say, but, and guys, I'm getting some feedback noise. So if you can mute the microphone, please, whoever's got the mic going. So she says, but he's walking around showing us his expletive, and he won't leave. Okay. So he is completely naked. The dispatcher asks, she goes, yeah, he's completely naked. The caller confirms. It goes on to say that there's no indication that Miller previously identified himself as a transgender female prior to venturing into the women's locker room. And despite biological realities, Planet Fitness allows members to use the restroom and the locker room of their choice, which aligns with their self-reported gender identity, despite the feelings and fears of actual women that are occupying the same space. It doesn't even talk about maybe minors being in the same locker room. Planet Fitness gained unfavorable attention recently when a gym in Fairbanks, Alaska, made a decision to revoke a membership of someone named Patricia Silva, who recorded video of a transgender person with male genitalia in the women's locker room. Silva said that she went to the gym and saw a man with his junk, and he was shaving in the women's locker room. It goes on to say, in another posted by Silva, she said there was a girl who could have been 12 years old in a towel, kind of freaked out that there was a guy shaving in the locker room. Silva had her membership revoked for violating a policy that prohibits taking photos or video in the locker room, according to Planet Fitness, who confirmed that story. All right, wow. We got 3 minutes and 10 seconds, guys. I see you guys are just fighting to see who's going to take this one first. But Randy, go ahead.
Well, you know, there was a big controversy because in a different state, the same thing happened. The person identified as a female. And the woman who complained about it had her membership 86 because she had the audacity to go and complain about it. And that became a major news story.
Was that the one in Alaska? The woman that filmed the one that I just read.
No, it was not Alaska. It was, excuse me. I believe it was somewhere back east, but, yeah, she became very vocal. And can you imagine how stupid the executives are at Planet Fitness to come out and say, oh, you complained about that? Well, we're taking your gym membership. The dumbness of corporate America in this woke insanity just is mind-boggling. So it's kind of surprising to me that they actually arrested this person.
And you know, and we're not even talking about transgender, right? We're talking about just some dude that says he wakes up in the morning and for like, you know, 2 minutes or 2 hours while he's going to the gym, he identifies as a female. You know, I'd be upset if my wife was there. But could you imagine having your daughter being in a gym and being exposed?
Well, the word that they're using. So if you are sincere, this is what I read. That if you sincerely think that you're a woman, then it's okay. If you're not very sincere, then you can go to jail. So go figure this one.
Wow. Just sad in this climate. Sheriff.
If you got male appendages, you go in the boys' room. If you got girl appendages, you go in the girls' room. It's pretty simple stuff.
Yeah. So,
whoa. You know, Sheriff, come on.
A little radical. Yeah.
It's a little radical.
Okay. Well, guys, we've got a little less than a minute. So that might be the highlight story of the day. I don't know. But let me just whet the appetite for the next one for as much time as I've got left before our second commercial break. We're at rumble.com and our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. The story does have a video component. It's titled Boise Police Officer Shooting of Eli Nash Deemed Justified. And it was a fatal shooting as well. Is he good? No, I can't see. Let me just say before the commercial break that we do have stories. Hardly have a good news story of the day that does not have a video component. So let me just say that we'll describe in great detail what's going on so you guys don't feel like you're missing out on anything. And if you have to see a video, you know, we do this show is going to have all the videos that we talk about embedded into it, pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. It comes out the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning on our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. And if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, next week, they're talking about crash investigations. We all do it. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. That is bluethegold.com. Now, AFIRE at AFIRE.com stands for Accuracy Under Fire. It's at AFIRE.com. And AFIRE, it's the gold standard in tactical simulation. And for the first time ever, agencies and LEOs can safely simulate being hit by gunfire, knives, and other objects in their dynamic force-on-force scenarios. So now you can train your officers on how they react or see how they actually do react in real-world situations, all while improving their decision-making, return fire accuracy, and life preservation skills thanks to AFIRE.com. All right, guys, and welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, just before we went to commercial break, I was kind of whetting the appetite for the next story. Boise police officer, and we actually have a few stories from Boise. We have time to get to them. So police officer shoots a guy named Eli Nash. It was justified. And, you know, a lot of these stories start off with, you know, this officer is not going to be indicted. It's going to be cleared. I don't know why they always start the stories off like that, because, you know, most police shootings are justified. But according to a recent news release, Blaine County prosecuting attorney Matthew Frederick determined that the actions of Boise police officer Kay Paparello, who shot Eli Nash on January the 23rd of 2023, so that was like a year ago, that they were justified under the law. How do you like to sit on the porch for like a little over a year before they actually clear your actions in a shooting? How much would that suck, right? So before the shooting, Nash, or bad guys, on parole, actress released from prison following a conviction on two counts of sexual exploitation of a child by electronic means. Wow, this guy's a real winner, right? So Nash fails to register as a sex offender, and officers are investigating an additional sexual assault allegation against him. So on January the 23rd, 2023, officers plan on arresting him in partnership with the fugitive recovery agents from Idaho Department of Corrections. So when they locate Nash in a car in a parking lot in Meridian, officers, they move in to arrest him. They use police vehicles to block his car to prevent him from escaping. Now, officers approach the car, identify themselves, command him to put his hands up. So Nash does not comply, of course, because he's a bad guy, right? And instead, he jumps into the back seat where the blankets are covering the windows. Now, what it really doesn't say is that one of the officers there says, punch it. And what he means is use the punch tool to punch that window. So before he jumps in the back seat, they punch that window. And let me tell you, that glass, that driver's side window, pew, it just goes, man. The windows are in the back seat. You can't even see because he's got towel they're blocking the windows. You can't even see what the guy's doing. Well, when you got uniforms around a car with glass everywhere that you can't see through, you're at a huge disadvantage tactically, right? So I mean, we've all been there. We all know that. So Officer Paparello can see Nash through the rear window, and he sees that this dude's holding a gun. Now, apparently, and I'm there too, I couldn't. No one else can see what this guy's doing, but this one officer could, and he's pointing his gun at the, you know, through the rear window or at the rear window at the bad guy that's on the other side of the window in the back seat. So the cop sees he's holding the gun pointed towards the rear driver's side door, which is in the direction of other officers that are standing outside the car. So Officer Paparello fires four rounds at Nash through the rear window. It was beautiful. Nash is declared deceased on the scene. The firearm was later identified as a 9mm. It was a CZ-75 handgun, which I had an attorney, Ken Apianko, on the show yesterday claiming that CZ, it's better than SIG. It's like the best handgun he's ever had. So that's the way that goes down. So in my notes from the shooting, you know, I say, you know, it's there's a couple body cams, but I say start, you know, watching at the 37-second mark when the officer goes up through the driver's window and then they punch it. And the suspect retreats to the back seat. And then the officer starts yelling, shots fired. I didn't hear any shots fired initially, but apparently they came from the bad guy inside the car at the 1 minute mark. But you definitely hear the four shots being fired audibly by the officer that's looking through the rear window and sees the bad guy, you know, with the gun. Then they finally extract the bad guy and he ends up dying, but they get the gun. But when they extract him, he's just like barely alive, if at all. So interesting video, dynamic situation, guys. Any commentary on this? We've got 7 minutes and 20 seconds. Randy.
Yeah, you know, this was a little confusing because for even from the body-worn cams, you really can't see a whole lot. I thought when he punched that glass, I thought he fired through the glass. That was what I thought, because then I heard shots fired, and he ran around to get a different position to cover. So I was a little confused there, and then I heard the four shots. This could have turned so bad for the cops, because this suspect really did have a tactical advantage from putting. I mean, what kind of evil was he up to? Where he had blankets put up against that up against the windows. You know, that guy was a capering fool. You know that.
Oh yeah. Did you guys see in the video that I can't remember whether it was before or after the cop took the four rounds through the rear window at the bad guy inside the car. But do you remember seeing the cop on the passenger side of the car, and he had a pistol? And he was trying to break the glass, the side window glass, with the pistol. And he's got his finger. It looked like it was in the trigger guard when he was doing it. I was just like, yeah. I Sheriff, I saw your expression on your face, because you saw it, obviously. But it's just like, oh, my gosh. Do we train to do stuff like that? It's just,
Other than the horrendous tactics involved in this whole thing, it was a good outcome. I don't know if Randy's familiar, but we get a lot of blankets on back windows, front windows of people living in their car. And I'm guessing because he's a pedophile, he's most likely living in his car. That may be why he had the blankets up. But if you got him pinned in, I don't know why they just didn't retreat a little bit, get good cover. It looked like a Polish firing squad there at a couple instances. When we had, you know, about 270 degrees of coverage around the vehicle. And then I got guys banging their gun, their loaded gun, on windows to try and, I was just like, oh my God, everybody just back off, get some long guns and call the guy out of the car.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. I don't know why we think we have to go into the car to get him. But we definitely do not break windows with our gun. I just was like, oh my God. I will say that the guy that did end up doing the shooting had a good trajectory. He had his pistol pointed down. And so he minimized the crossfire stuff that was probably going on with the eight guys standing around him.
But may have saved lives, is what I'm thinking. That guy in the rear, wow.
Yeah, and he could see him through the back window there. That was, I'm surprised that he didn't have cardboard or something in that back window as well. Normally, they black out all those windows so they can sleep all day long.
Now, Sheriff, I may be mistaken on this, but when you were at the FBI, were you on the FBI SWAT? Didn't you do some SWAT training with them? Or?
Yep, I'm 17 years as a SWAT guy. I was a tactical instructor. I taught a lot of street survival classes. We did not teach that technique in any of my classes.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. So I wasn't too worried, but wow. So, I think we all can agree that this could have been much worse. So I'm just glad that we don't have any cops injured, and that a bona fide bad guy that targets, kids is gone now. But this guy, if it hadn't been for that cop, firing those rounds through the rear window, these guys could have been in a world of hurt. I mean, yeah.
I was with Randy too. I think, especially in the heat of the moment, there may have been a little auditory, dislocation or whatever you want to call it. But when they popped that window, that may have been mistaken for a gunshot. The article, but I didn't hear whether or not the bad guy actually cranked off any rounds, whether they could discern whether he cranked off any rounds. But, yeah. That causes that whole problem.
That's a good point. You very likely are right on that. Yeah, because I heard that and I was trying to figure out how in the world just process that. So now that makes complete sense, though. All right. So we've got about 2.5 minutes, gentlemen. So And that's just till we have our last commercial break, actually. So, yeah, we're already over halfway through the show, which is just crazy. This time just flies by. We've got another story of the video components. So we're back at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, who's actually on the stream conversing with us right now. Boise, still in Boise, officer justified in shooting Harry Andrews, who was on the interstate and armed with a knife.
What's your name?
Paul Pocket.
Okay. You got anything else in your pockets? Huh? Okay. Can you tell me your name?
Kill you.
Huh?
I wanted to kill you.
Okay.
So this does not happen every day. January 3rd, 2023. So this is really around the same time frame of the last story. Boise police are dispatched to a guy that's walking in the westbound lanes of the interstate. Officers get there. They find Harry Chester Andrews. He's got three names because, of course, he's a bad guy, right? He's walking on I-84 with a knife in his hand. So Sergeant Kirk Rush, he tells Andrews to get on the ground and drop the knife. Andrews did not follow the commands, and he starts to run at the sergeant with a knife in his hand. It's almost like he's running and the sergeant looks up and he stops running and he starts walking and then he picks up the pace again. It was just kind of weird. But his actions prompted the sergeant to have to shoot him and injure him though. So he didn't kill him. He injured him. He's taken to the hospital, treated for his injuries. Andrews pled guilty in October of 23, to aggravated assault with a deadly weapon enhancement. He was sentenced to prison for 25 years on January the 11th of this year, 2024. The Ada County Prosecutor's Office said that while police were detaining and aiding Andrews, you know, trying to save his life, that he told the officers that he wanted to kill them. He said, "I wanted to kill you guys." So, yeah, just, you know, and this guy ends up surviving, you know, someone like that. Sheriff, we got a minute and 4 seconds.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting because when he started doing rendering aid to him after he shot him, I'm pretty sure I listened to it a couple times, but I'm pretty sure on body cam, he said, "I wanted to kill you," as he's rendering a maid. So you can't ask for better evidence than that. Pretty quick reactions, you know, typical stop. I didn't see whether or not the call came through with a man with a knife or whether it was just a man walking on the highway. I couldn't find that, but that went from kind of a casual contact to a deadly force situation pretty quick.
No doubt. All right. And we got, wireless stuff is going down with Boise. I just don't know. But Randy, any comments on this one? We've got just a couple. Actually, you know what? It's really time for our first commercial or last commercial break. So I'll tell you what, let's hold those thoughts, Randy. Last commercial break. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, it's time to talk about guns and ammo. So no matter how much you know about guns and ammunition or how much you think that you know, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. Gunlearn.com, they've taken the confusion out of learning and they've actually made it easy. Gunlearn.com is the first and it's the only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy, and their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now you can start the day with online training or you can sign up to attend a live seminar and you can actually get free training for yourself and the personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at gunlearn.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We just took our last commercial break, so we've got 9.5 minutes, a little over that, for covering the rest of the content that we have for the rest of the show. So, Lieutenant Randy, I had to cut you off for the last commercial break. Sorry about that, but the floor is now yours.
I didn't really have anything to offer on that one. He was just a moron trying to commit suicide by cop.
So, any are you going to lose any sleep over the death of this pedophile?
I've already forgotten all about him.
Okay, all right. Well, look, while we're on the topic, you know, there is an organization out there that helps guys out, cops out in the world of hurt. It's called the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. And I have it on very good authority that you're actually the founder of the Wounded Blue. I know you retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. I know you're still heavily involved. I have it on very good authority that Travis Yates just joined, I think, the board of directors for the Wounded Blue as well. Now, I think that you still have that Guitars for Cops special going too. So can you kind of bring us up to speed on what's going on with the Wind of Blue?
Yeah, some amazing things. Travis did join the board of directors. In fact, he and I were instructing up in Eureka County together. We actually drove up there together. And the Wounded Blue has got some amazing stuff happening. And I wanted to tell the sheriff about this, and I'm glad he's here. We are holding our fourth annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit in Las Vegas, September 26th through the 29th. Some of the most incredible training and presenters on every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career, especially emotionally, psychologically, relationships. It is a dynamic training conference, unlike anything else in the country. If you have one training conference as a police officer to go to, come to this one, September 26th through the 29th, and go to thewoundedblue.org and register. It's only $325. That includes your meals. So it is a dynamic, in fact, life-altering. I've had cops literally stand up and said, if it weren't for this conference, I was going to kill myself. So wow. That's how dramatic it is. And I recommend it for every police officer, sheriff's officer, and police leaders to send their cops.
So you guys hear that, people that are on the stream and stuff and people that are listening to us on radio, or guys, start getting that conversation going, and you can get more information at thewoundedblue.org. But get everybody excited about this. This conference is happening every year. It's growing. And I tell you, the speakers, they are, it's very impressive. It's very impressive. Are you still having that little Friday night, celebrate, like kind of meet and greet kind of a thing going on, Randy?
Oh, of course. I've been to enough police training conferences to know that they usually suck. So yeah. We are a non-suck training conference. Okay. We have fun. We have entertainment. We got a comedian coming. And of course it's Vegas. So we have dancing girls with feathers. All right. Not really. Just kidding on that one.
Flamingos. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Excellent. All right. Well, thanks. Well, are we ready to move on to one of the next topics then? Are we good with that? I think I might just stay with Boise since, it's just so hot right now. So at rumble.com, we're still at, this is butter. Six Boise police officers fatally shoot a 28-year-old Macy Jucker.
Hey, walk him to us a little more to get him away from that gun.
Keep coming towards me. Slowly walk towards me. Stop where you're at, right there.
Maybe get some more units. Just get him on his knees.
Slowly go down to your knees. Keep your butt, hands above your head. Hands above your head. Do not move from that position.
Hey, we're on 19.
Were justified, of course, we're worried about them not being justified. So let's see what happens. The shooting happened on July the 27th of 2023, around 10 o'clock p.m. Macy Jucker calls the Boise Police Department and was showing signs of mental illness and stating that he had an assault rifle, which is really just a rifle, guys. That's just assault. It's just an inflammatory term. It's just for a long gun. That's all it is. So while on the phone, police hear gunshots. So when police go there, they find Jucker, a bad guy, and he's got a rifle. So he's complying with the police at first. The video is pretty poor. I mean, it's nighttime. It's kind of grainy, but we do a video of this. So they find him with the rifle, He complies initially and puts the gun down, but later he picks it up and he starts to run from police. And then he turns and at officers, and they fire and he fires. And you see this muzzle flash from this dude, and it's dark, so it's bright. And Jucker ends up being shot and he falls to the ground, but then he continues to shoot, which prompts officers to shoot him again. Now, the Ada County coroner, so we have a coroner involved, so guess what? That means the bad guy did not survive, all right? So the Ada County coroner said that Jucker's cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds, like we had any doubt, Sheriff, right? He's pronounced dead at the scene, and none of the officers were hurt, which is just, you know, a great feat. If you look at the freeze surveillance photo of the armed suspect, he's walking down the roadway, and I've got a timeline on this in the video starting at 2:44, and then it jumps to the suspect being on his knees and his hands on his head at the 4:57 mark. So he is definitely complying, but then he gets up, grabs that rifle and starts running away from cops and turns around and shoots. Despite the poor quality and being nighttime, you can't miss that. They do a great job with this video of highlighting and showing you everything. We have 4:20, Lieutenant Randy.
Well, you know, this was actually, they used pretty good tactics for the most part here, taking a dynamic situation like this. They tried to do the quote de-escalation unquote. This individual, he was bound and determined to shoot it out. And that very dramatic video, even though, like you said, it was a little hard to see, but the cops did a great job, and they Swiss cheesed this dude pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It's amazing that, you know, he had a long gun, so it's not necessarily a fair fight. You know, you got pistols, you know, going after a dude with a long gun, and it's nighttime. But yeah, when I saw that muzzle flash from that long gun he had, that's you don't want to get caught with that one. So, if there's nothing else, we can move on to the next one here then. And let's see, we've got 3:24. So I think that we've got enough time for this. This update article on Police One, LAPD inspector chosen to serve as an independent monitor for the Oregon Police Department reforms. So we're in Portland, Oregon. That's probably no surprise. The city of Portland and the U.S. Department of Justice, they've selected an L.A. Police Department Inspector General Mark Smith. This guy is going to serve as the independent monitor of a mandated Portland police reform under the city federal settlement agreement over excessive force. And so, yeah, that's where I see Randy rolling. Randy knows, you get these monitors that are not even in the same state and they're monitoring what you're doing. It's just a cash cow. They're just, I don't want to steal your thunder, Randy, but the city council will vote on the selection of Smith's MPS and associates firm on May the 2nd. I'm sure there's a story there. City officials and the DOJ lawyers and community advocacy groups have been parties to the longstanding settlement identified as Smith and his firm as the most qualified, citing his understanding of Portland and its challenges, even though he's in LA, and as well as his expertise in police oversight, constitutional policing, community engagement, yada, yada, yada. U.S. District Judge Michael Simon in November approved changes to the city of Portland settlement with the Justice Department, calling for hiring of independent monitor to oversee the requirements that will allow the city to do their thing. There's more, but we've got 2 minutes to talk about this. So, guys, I know how we all feel about consent decrees. Randy, start us off. We got a minute and 50-some seconds.
Yeah. This consent decree has been in action since 2012. And it's like the Portland, once you get involved and you're subjected to the DOJ's ridiculous cash cow of a consent decree quicksand, you never get out of it. And this is a perfect example. This guy's going to make almost $2 million for doing what? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you get on that train, you can't get off. Sheriff, I know you're familiar with consent decrees too.
Yeah, I would disagree with Randy because I'm trying to figure out how I become a monitor for the consent decrees. I got a federal background. I got local law enforcement background. I think I'd be perfect as a monitor. $500,000 a year.
You're too qualified. You can't do it.
Wow.
The only other thing I'll say is, they changed the parameters on these things. You know, I'm hearing a lot about how violent crime is down. In the state of Washington, if you point your gun at somebody, you have to fill out a use of force report. There's no force in pointing your gun at somebody. Once you pull the trigger, then there's a use of force. So if we change the parameters, we can kind of change what we're looking at and how the how we look at that data. So you have to be very careful when you look at that data.
Wow. Yeah. I know you're not that's not the only agency or the state that's doing that. So I know others as well. So they consider that a use of force. So interesting.
Well,
but
think about this. If you're a New York City cop now, every time you talk to another human being, you have to fill out a report.
Yeah, that would bite. Yeah. We were getting a lot of retirements too.
We were lucky because they wanted handcuffs was a use of force. And we finally got that. We're like, no, that's not a use of force. Yeah. Handcuffing somebody is not a use of force.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Sheriff Kreider and Lieutenant Sutton, appreciate that. You know, we're out of time. We've got 36 seconds left. I do want to mention, again, the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, and also that special guitars, the number 4, cops.com, where you can spend $1,000 and get a really nice guitar signed by your favorite country music artist. What a great opportunity. Also, a shout-out to our sponsors. We have Aero Precision, our new satellite sponsor. They're doing great. Gauls, AFire, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and MyMedicare.live. Also, shout out again to Brian Burns for the free press. Thank you, Brian, for carrying our content. And Ray Dietrich, RedVoiceMedia.com. Thank you again for carrying our content. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern. We appreciate everyone's support. See you tomorrow.